very air we breathe doesn't come from our own, but it comes from you. And so, Father, we exist today not because of somebody, but because of you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, now we're about to give, so I pray that you bless the gift and the giver. Lord, as we give back to you, you've already given us so much. So, Lord, would you bless it today? Use it for the growth of thy kingdom and the glory of your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Christ.
I'm excited about the fact this morning that a man named Jesus Christ walked those Calvary's Hill when they gave his life. To die for our sins so that we can still go free. They can't nobody take that away this morning.
That's right.
You can do whatever you want to do to me, to any other fellow Christian. Can't nobody take that away this morning. Our salvation is steadfast and true. It's there. It's there. It will never be taken away. And I rejoice at that fact this morning that Jesus Christ suffered all he did just so that I and you could still go free.
That's right.
Where the blood red stains, well, they broke out.
put them two together on the platform. I thought they was going to run off, to be honest with you. Let's fight. Father, we need you this morning, and we thank you that we've been reminded that you're there for us. Having you is what we need. And Father, we thank you that we know today that you're living inside of us. And Lord, we have been set free. As we share from your word today, I pray that, Lord, nobody will see me, for I'm not worthy to be seen. But I pray that through me they may see you, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Lord, we just pray now that you'd be here in a very special way. Thank you for your Spirit that abides with us. Our time of music, our time of singing, our time of choir singing, time of special music, time of congregation singing. And Father, now I ask that, Lord, you'd move here among us, and we're going to thank you for what you would do. In Jesus' name, amen. What goes up must come down. Thank you. I appreciate it. Chad, you help me out. Let's try it again. What goes up? Thank you, Chad. In 1783, two French brothers invented the first big balloon. They made a huge bag of paper and a cloth, which they held over a fire. And when they released the smoke, filled the balloon, and it soared into the sky. And encouraged by that, the brothers built a balloon with a basket underneath to carry passengers. In that first balloon, was a rooster, a dove, and a young sheep. And they filled the balloon with hot air from the fire, and they released it, and they watched that balloon with that little basket with those three animals go into the air. It was November the 21st, 1783, for the first time, people walked into a little basket with a great big balloon, and the smoke filled that balloon. And the balloon went into the air, sailing through the air, piled by hot air, but coming to the ground when the air cooled. What goes up must come down.
Amen.
As you and I have looked at our risen Lord after Easter Sunday, we have heard him say, "Peace be unto you," and we also have looked at his wounds to prove that he was who he said he was. And then our Lord spoke again, and he said to you and I, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you."
Amen.
And now the hour, listen, is drawing near for our Lord to leave, but never fear. What goes up must come down.
Amen.
I want us to think, as our Lord ascends into heaven, I want us to think about some of the things that he did as he prepared to leave. If you've got your Bible, would you look with me at Luke chapter 24? What goes up, Chad? Thank you, Chad. After his resurrection, he had appeared to Mary and then those who had locked themselves up in that room. Now, let me remind you something. We cannot shut ourselves up in the safety and the security of this room. There is work for every one of us to do on the outside of the walls of this building. And if we want to shut ourselves up in here and sing our songs and brag about what we're doing for Christ, then we're doing the wrong thing. Do you realize there is a lost and dying world out there that needs the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
It is so amazing to me. I was standing in the ER and was there very late, about 1 o'clock this morning, but I was standing in the ER and I was having prayer in the third room over with Brian's family, who was hurt at the baseball game. I was there with several other families. And when I finished praying, there's an older man, three rooms down, caught me and said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "I sure am." And he said, "Would you do me a favor?" And I said, "If I can." And I walked up to the bed, and he had tattoos all over his body, and he was covered with one big tattoo, and he apologized to me, and he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry about all this." And I said, "Look," I said, "all that don't bother me. What I'm after is the heart. As long as the heart's okay, I'm not worried about all that other stuff."
Amen.
And he said this. He stuck out his big old hand, and he said, "Would you pray for me? I have nobody else." And tears flowed down his face. And I began to pray for him. And I could feel, I'm bad about praying long prayers sometimes. And I could feel as I kept praying, he was squeezing my hand. And I shortened my prayer and hurried. He's about to kill my hand. But that was a way of him thanking me for what I was doing for him. All I did was pray for him. Church, do you understand there's more to church than us sitting in this room? There's a lot of hurting folks out there. There's a lot of families right now who have sick ones in their family. And we sit in here and discuss our little issues. Can I tell you, the greatest thing that is still happening is Jesus is still touching folks. And so we've got to get out of safety in this room. And those women had to get out of safety in that room. They had to leave that room after Jesus appeared to them and showed him who they were. Now let's take a moment and look at the five things that the Lord said and done before he ascended into heaven. Look with me at verse number 50. Here's what it said. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. They left that closed in room, went outside. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now let's notice, first of all, if you would, just focus in on the Father's action. Our Lord wasn't finished yet. He led them out. He brought them from that room they had gathered in. Now my prayer is that as we gather into this room, that the Lord is here with us, and I know that he is, but my biggest prayer is that when we leave this room, that we'll leave here a little bit closer to our risen Lord than we was when we came in.
Amen.
That's the whole thing. You know what? We get comfortable in the church situation, and we get comfortable in our position, and we get comfortable and we sit back, and sometimes the Lord has to come and carry us out. Can I remind you that, listen, if God so desires to get your attention, God can get your attention.
Yes.
And he leads us out. And so he carried them out. And to get there, one must climb the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Go down on the eastern side. And the Lord had already been to Bethany many times before, because he went to the home of Mary and Martha and their brother. And he had already worked a miracle there in that past. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He had already been to Bethany.
Amen.
There was evidence that Jesus had already been there. Let me tell you this. When Jesus passes by, there should always be evidence that Jesus has passed by.
Amen.
If Jesus walks into your life, there ought to be evidence every day that Jesus lives inside of your life.
Lord,
Jesus can't come into a room full of people and those people not be touched. It is my prayer that Jesus might show up, that we may all be touched. And so he led them out to Bethany. As far as Bethany, where great things had happened before. And when they got to Bethany, he went in action. He'd already died. He'd already been buried. But yet he was not finished. Here's what he did. Listen. His blessing was appointed. He lifted up his hands. And he placed a blessing on them. At his birth, he did not come to curse them. He came to bless them. He came in love and mind. ascended into heaven was an act of love. He came not as a condemning judge, but he came as a compassionate friend. And now, in his last act on earth, he blesses them. He lifts up his hands and he pours out his blessings on them.
Amen.
Even many of those who had turned their backs on him, many of those who had helped drive the nails in his hand, many of those who had scourged him with a cat of nine tails before Jesus left this earth, he lifted up his hand and he blessed them. Jesus never holds any grudges. Jesus never comes at us. Jesus always blesses us. And can I remind you, matters not who you are and what you've done. Thank God, Jesus always blesses us.
Amen.
He lifted up his hands. It was the hands that had reached out to the hurting. It was the hands who had reached out to touch the loaves and the fishes, and they were multiplied. It was the hands that reached out to Simon Peter when he was sinking. It was the hands who probably touched the woman at the well and said, matters not what you've done in the past, I've come to help you right now.
Yes.
It was the hands, perhaps, that he touched that crowd when they let that man down on that stretcher in that house that was full of folks when a great meeting was going on. It's the hands of Jesus that touched them. It's the same hands which were stretched out and nailed to a tree. And now Jesus holds up those soft, tender hands and he says, my blessings are on you. As long as we got God's blessings on us, we don't need anybody else's blessings on us. He blessed them. Look at verse 51. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. Not by force, but in his own power. No chariots of fire. His own power lifted him from this earth. His exit was noiseless as his entry. He had accomplished what he came to do, and he went back to his Father. And right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. But let me remind you, what goes up must come down. And it's not very long until he that has risen from the grave and risen to the sky will come for us who belong to him.
Praise the Lord.
The Father says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I remind you? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm not sending angels after you. I'm coming again. What goes up, thank God, will come down.
Amen.
Sit it in heaven. And our Lord is still actively involved in our lives every day. If it were not for the interceding power of the Lord to our Father, I would have been killed a long time ago. And guess what? You would have been killed a long time ago as well. He makes intercession for us. But there's a second thing that happened. Look at verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You see what? You see the Father's action. But let it remind you of the followers' appreciation. You know something? They appreciated what their father just done. You and I sometimes show no appreciation for how he has blessed us. That appreciation brought a worship service. You say, well, we have worship at 10:55 on Sunday morning. We have worship at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We have worship on Wednesday nights. We have all of our water stuff. We're doing all that we need to do. You understand something? Just because we meet don't mean we worship. You can't worship. I can't worship until I get myself out of the way that he might be worshiping. I can't do that. And if we're excited about his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming in to get us again, we should worship him with appreciation. And he lays it out for you. He lays it very clear. We find in Greek. What is it? Look what he says. We find the people worship. And they, T-H-E-Y, they worship. Who are they? That's his followers. Only those of us who know Christ can really worship him. If you come to this room and you've never prayed a prayer, you never invited Christ in your heart, yeah, you can sing a song with us and you can give your money like we do. You can do everything. You can shake hands with your neighbor, but you cannot worship the Heavenly Father. You know why? You can't worship somebody you've never had an experience with. And what we get into, we think church membership does it all. It's not church membership. It's about being washed in the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so sad that we fail sometimes to worship the Lord. We fail. And the world makes more noise than the church folks. The most excited folks in all the world ought to be church folks.
Yes.
For what goes up will come down. The people worship. Who is the person of worship? And they worship him. If you're not worshiping anyone but him, then it's wrong. You don't worship this place. As beautiful this place is. It doesn't matter how much money you may have given me. Put a stained glass window in this sanctuary. It matters not if you help buy the chandeliers in this building. I hope you understand the building does not deserve our worship. It is the King and the Lord of the building who deserves our worship. I sure don't deserve your worship. I don't ever claim to be anything much. All I am is a sinner saved by God's grace who tries my best to walk in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes mistakes like everybody else, who asks the Lord to forgive me. And you know what? Guess what? When the Lord forgives you, he forgives you. And guess what? He tells you to go on and he dusts you off and pick you up. If you haven't been forgiven lately, you just haven't asked the Lord to do so.
Amen.
We worship him. Matters not what grandma and grandpa did. Matters not who's this, who's that, whose name on this, whose name's on that. The name that's above every name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come together to worship, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him. Him. Our Lord died that we might have life. Therefore, it's he who we must worship. The people worship that. The person of worship, him. The place of worship. Did you notice he said Jerusalem? And then the next place he says the temple. You know something? We're to worship the Lord wherever we go. Wherever we go, but especially this place. When we come to this place, we ought to beg that the presence of God be so real in this place that we can't stand ourselves because the Lord is so strong. And we're so weak. We ought to pray and ask the Lord to help us, to get all of us out of the way. Out of the way that we might see what Jesus Christ has really done. We might look at his hands and we might look at his feet. We might hear his words and we might know that we are what we are because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When When these disciples went back home, they could not wait to get in the temple to worship. Look with me at verse 53. Look what he said. And they were continually in the temple. They couldn't help but come and worship. They couldn't help but come and worship. Worship. Where do we worship? Here. We worship everywhere. Did you know something else? The period of worship continued. They stayed in the temple. Some of us have the concept that we worship the Lord an hour, and then at 12 o'clock the Lord cuts us off and we no longer can worship Him. I beg to differ with that. I will tell you this, the Lord would like for us to worship Him all day long, every single day. Some of us think that one service every so often is all that we need. Can I remind you, if you only got air ever so often, you'd be dead. Spiritually, we've got to have worship. Even if it's not something that I say through the message, sometimes the Lord speaks through songs. But the Lord always speaks when we come together and worship.
Yes.
Always does. The disciples were so appreciative, they just could not stop worshiping. And there's one other thing. Praising and blessing God. The verse prior that said that said joy. You know something? How can we explain the simple fact that the first little company of weak disciples left for the first time like orphans in the midst of an angry world were not cast down but were full of joy? How can they worship? Because they didn't look at their circumstances. They looked at the Master. We worship the Master. We worship the Master. And joy should overflow us, not because of man, but because of the Master. Have you been excited in worship today? Have you put forth joy in your worship today? Remember that what goes up must come down. Remember, Christ's final figure, He told us what we needed to do and showed us what we need to do. Stand with me this morning.